Saddle up your horses.
Welcome to Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter. This is the program that proclaims liberty to the captives of our beloved nation, where truth trumps political correctness, where the uncompromised word of God exposes the works of darkness and sets free those held hostage behind the iron curtain of a shamelessly biased media. For God has called us to stand for truth, and having done all to stand, we will stand. It's time to fight the good fight of faith to preserve our country, our families, fortunes, and sacred honor, to protect our property, our schools, and yes, maybe even salvage some of our churches. America, we have a trail to blaze. It's time to saddle up. It's time to ride. Now, here is your host of Red Sky Radio, Rob Walter.
Well, hello, America, and welcome, world, to Red Sky Radio, where we ride hard for the brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you all. What a packed program. Without delay, we're going to jump into this. We are going to finally cover the impeachment, which I have avoided, but I'm also going to tell you in a little bit why I have avoided it until this point in time. We're going to briefly touch on the Democratic debates. A few little tidbits up front, but this is going to be dominated by the impeachment matter, for which you need to hear some scripture that pertains to this situation that I've held off on. But first, just a few little things. I'm going to mention one real quick thing about the state of California. If you are in California, you've got children or grandchildren, this is yet another warning sign. If they're in school, to get them out of school, any public school, any government school, but more so than ever, because California just passed the Right to Be Obnoxious bill, also known as the Right to Bully bill, also known as the Right to Intimidate Your Teacher bill. So what on earth are you talking about? What I'm talking about is the fact that starting January 1, from 8th grade and below, no student in California, government schools, can any longer be kicked out for disruptive, rude, disorderly conduct. So these kids just get a free pass. They can flip off the teacher. They can tell the teacher to go to you-know-where. And you can't kick them out. You cannot boot them from the school. Apparently, I don't know what they're going to do. They're going to send them down some room where all these miscreants will gather. And lucky you if you're the person that oversees that class, because you can't kick them out of that. No, California requires that everybody, no matter how rude, how disorderly, maybe how... obviously, you can't carry a gun in there and shoot somebody, but apparently you can be intimidate your teacher, tell her, him or her, where to go, what have you. Doesn't matter how unruly you are, you can't get kicked out anymore. So California, apparently, which is 49th out of 50 states in education, is seeking the highly coveted last place award, and they probably have got it. I want to talk just very, very briefly about the Democratic debates. I want to just get this out of the way. You're probably saying, what debate? Well, it kind of surprises me that they had the debates on the same night as the impeachment vote. I'm not sure if there is a design there. I'm sure it is, because Nancy Pelosi thinks that she is the man behind the curtain in the Wizard of Oz sort of Congress that we have these days. But I will tell you just a couple of things from what I saw, where a butt gag was out there, and this guy is just increasingly radical. Now he wants reparations not only for blacks, he wants reparations for immigrants, including illegals, who he believes have been mistreated. So everybody gets money. It's bank error in your favor if you are part of some minority that he's counting on to somehow win. But I will tell you, I find it kind of interesting that the others were beating up on him because in part of his lack of experience. Well, indeed, he doesn't have much experience. He is the mayor of a relatively small town, okay? That doesn't really qualify you for anything other than being mayor of a big town. But it's more qualification than Barack Obama had, who was in the Senate about 8 minutes before he announced his candidacy. And before that, he was a state legislator for a little bit, but spent most of his life with the community organizer mantle. And it seemed like the left wasn't the least bit concerned about his despicable lack of talent and experience. Mostly experience. Let me just put it that way. But it's a big deal with butt gag now, so what? I don't really care if they get him out of there. That's fine. Then you had Elizabeth Warren, who said that Donald Trump would stomp on a cute little kitten. This is what she said. I mean, maybe it was kitty instead of kitten. I don't know. He'd stomp on a cute little kitten if doing so would get him what he wants. I just cannot believe the radical, ludicrous extremism of the Democrats. So Elizabeth Warren, well, let me just call you Betsy. Betsy Warren, let me ask you. So you think you take the high moral ground by alleging without any fact, just because you despise Trump, because you hate him, because your veins are filled with venom and vitriol, you can make this allegation when you support, not stomping on cute little kittens, you support snuffing out the lives of 62 million cute little children in the womb in support of abortion. You're just one more Democrat hypocrite. And those words are synonymous. I don't really need to put the adjective in there. But anyway, it was interesting. I didn't pay much attention to it because I found something more interesting. I switched to a documentary dealing with the annual migration habits of Brazilian earthworms, which I found to be far more interesting. Last bit of the tidbits, Chick-fil-A has just gone full on queer this, queer that. What a crappy organization. I'm never eating there again, but I've already said that before. I just want to let you know more and more comes out the soft underbelly of this otherwise seemingly righteous company. We are seeing the utter despicable corruption that has marked this. Now, I want to share a personal experience. I do different things in my law practice. One of those things is I help clients, I help clients get out of the state of California with their commercial real estate that's highly appreciated without having to pay the piper to in Sacramento. So when I help a client through the legal aspects of selling a highly appreciated commercial or investment property or farm property for which they would otherwise get hammered by taxes, state and federal, I attempt to find for them the appropriate replacement property elsewhere in the United States, states more suited for right-minded, right-thinking people than the state of California. Well, interestingly, over the last 3 years, I have been teased with recommending Chick-fil-A acquisitions to my clients. Now, they're not buying the business. They just be buying the building, which then is leased to Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A is riding so high on its reputation, it really doesn't pay much in rent, but they've been a good, solid company so far. But this is what I find interesting. This is where the Spirit of God comes in, and you don't even know it. For some reason, which I have never been able to explain, I've never been able to give my client a wholehearted endorsement for Chick-fil-A. Yet I've had clients that I have recommended Wendy's or a tire store in a particular location or a KFC or a Texas Roadhouse, one of my favorites, when in the restaurant area where they own the buildings and they lease out the property to the operator of that restaurant. Whatever those companies stand for the most part, I don't really know. But whatever they stand for it openly. They're not the hypocrites that Chick-fil-A is. And so I'm really thrilled that I never, ever recommended them to one of my clients. The Spirit of God moving in my heart and mind to not go in a direction that otherwise I would have gone in a heartbeat. But I didn't. Because God knows what was going to be revealed. And as it says in Ephesians, we are to expose those works of darkness. If I get time, Later in the program, I got to tell you, I want to take a little bit of a poll because I'm ready to buy a t-shirt and order t-shirts. And I've got some great news if I can fit it in here at the end of the program. One other just real quick piece of good news. The Republican National Committee has set an absolute record-breaking amount of money fundraising for Donald Trump. I am so thrilled about this, that there are people who have not cut and run, like Chick-fil-A and like Christianity Today, that magazine, which is another fake hypocritical magazine, and we will call them out like you won't believe later in this program. When you're all done with this program, you will cancel that subscription, and your past issues, if you don't know what to do with them, you'll nail them to a tree and use them for target practice. Yeah, I'm talking about Christianity Today, the magazine originally founded by Billy Graham, which seems to be in the draft of Chick-fil-A. But I want to cover why I have held off on the impeachment analysis. First of all, there's a lot of stuff that's been on the media. I do not want to compete with or replicate, most of all, replicate what they say. And so when it comes to the impeachment thing here in the last couple of days, I've just gone into a self-imposed news blackout so that I can hear what my heart has to say from the Word of God about the impeachment. But I want to tell you why I have not covered it. And I'm going to use two examples. And these are teaching points, and I feel like they're worth sharing regardless of what the point, whatever the example is. They're good points to bring out. One deals with history and why I haven't acted upon it, why I haven't acted upon where we have been in the impeachment process, because I've never really known. You've heard me say, I don't know how this is going to turn out, because I don't. But from a historical perspective, this is what I have likened the secular media doing, both on the left and on the right. And I'm just not going there. It would be as though the Mayflower set out from Europe, and it's 20%, 25% of the way across the ocean. And somehow, let's just suppose there was a way from space, Google Earth, whatever, you monitor the ship's progression. And you have every, but it's still left with, you know, 15th century technology that they were using. And you had people who are trying to project where the Mayflower is going to land. And they say, well, there's a strong storm coming out of the north. We think it's going to push the Mayflower to probably land in South Carolina. Well, there's a strong storm coming up out of off the west coast of Africa. And we think it's going to drive it to the north now. And they go back and forth. Nobody really knows. It was a guess. That's what they've been doing all along. With every little bit of tidbit of news or development, they think that they can make a projection. I couldn't, so I didn't. Because you don't know where the Mayflower is going to land until it was within about 5 miles ashore. And the risk of storms or currents or whatever else was going on, because they didn't fully understand currents at the time, they didn't really know. So why speculate? Point number two. I have held off because I have been in prayer and frankly mourning for our country. I am still in prayer, but I'm not mourning this morning. And you say, why not? Here comes the biblical example. I'm actually relieved that they've decided to do something. So although Nancy Pelosi won't submit the articles to the Senate at the time of this broadcast, but this is what I liken it to. David sinned when he slept with Bathsheba, had Uriah murdered, that whole horrible story. And has this country sinned? Yes, grossly. We've murdered 62 million in the womb. We have done so many things wrong. We have our fist in the face of God. We flip them off in this country. Its arrogance is beyond belief. Yes, do we have a baby boy that could die as in this country? Yes, I suppose so. But this is the way I've seen it. Like David, you know, Ezekiel and some others repented for the sins of their parents. And David is repenting for his own. I have repented of my own, but also of the sins of others in this country, That's a biblical concept. It's a biblical principle. But he was in prayer and mourning while the baby was alive, while the child was alive. But when the child died, he washed his face, anointed his head with oil, moved on, and it amazed everybody. They couldn't understand it. How could you be in mourning while the child's alive, but you seem to be fine now that the child's dead? Well, David said, you know, the child won't come back to me, but I will go to him someday. And that's done, that's over, let's move on. And that's sort of how I feel. I've been in mourning, but we've gotten to the point where they did the impeachment, the child died, so to speak, and now it's just simply time for me to wash my face, anoint my head with oil, and move on. I'm not glad about the results. I just have to put it behind me. So, okay, where do we go from here? I want to cover some things, and I'm going to quote a few people today, and I'm going to quote Rush Limbaugh. I never quote Rush because you guys pretty much all hear him, but there's something when it's just really superb and kind of over the top. I will quote him. I'm going to quote Mr. McConnell here today at some length. But this is where we're going to start. So Mitch McConnell has kind of had it out with Nancy Pelosi here. And he says here from just about 2 days ago, he said, referring to the development of the impeachment and the certainty and then the actual event itself as comical. He said that this is to withhold the articles of impeachment until the GOP agrees to a fair impeachment trial is absolutely ludicrous. And it is. And I wouldn't share these things except that they're the background for what I have to share as it relates to the Word of God. And it is almost comical. So the House panel refuses people who would support Trump and provide testimony supportive of him and to exonerate him. They refuse to let those guys testify. Right? Then they leak information that's damning to Trump. They leak that info, but then they refuse to leak any information that would be favorable to Trump. Then they don't let Trump or any of his attorneys confront the accuser, the whistleblower, who doesn't have firsthand knowledge, who's functioning as hearsay and would be eliminated from a real trial, and not being able to confront your accusers, a violation of the Sixth Amendment. And then they don't bring the articles of impeachment to the Senate. You see, this is another constitutional violation. See, if you're indicted, this is what it's like. There's a grand jury, and they go over, you know, what supposedly happened, and then they produce their indictment. That's what a grand jury does. It's like a formal charge. But then they never deliver the charge to the prosecutor formally to move forward with the trial. They don't deliver it. They just hang on to it. You see, the Sixth Amendment also guarantees a right to what? A speedy trial. And if you have a prosecutor who charges somebody, they file charges, but never, ever get to ever presenting and taking the matter to trial, that defendant's going to walk because he's entitled to a right to a speedy trial under the Sixth Amendment. You see, the Democrats have violated every principle of decency, propriety, and constitutionality. And then you've got no brain looking for a brain to fill the cranial vacuum, Nancy Pelosi, contending that she does not intend to submit the articles of impeachment until they're guaranteed a fair trial. I mean, this is just, what is it, hogwash? I guess that's about the best that I can say today, huh? Hogwash. So Pelosi appears to be doing, quoting Breitbart here for a moment, what she knows best, playing legislative games. She's threatened that the Democrats would only send over the impeachment articles when she gets what she wants, and that is a promise of a fair Senate process. Many Republicans have balked at Pelosi's request because they believe Democrats denied them the fair trial while Pelosi sat by and watched the show. Impeaching Trump had become an obsession for many Democrats soon after he took office. And Pelosi has vowed not to send the articles against the president until they agree to make this trial fair, as I've said. And the House Republicans have repeatedly made similar requests, but the Democrat majority in the House ignored them. So now Democrats are complaining. The Republicans are denying them their legislative proprieties that just a few weeks ago they gleefully refused to GOP lawmakers. That's thank you, Breitbart. But anyway, I find this next piece interesting. I am sort of a constitutional lawyer. I have not practiced constitutional law, but a little bit for the American Family Association on a pro bono basis, though I am a student of it. Their question is raised, does Pelosi's delay mean the president is not actually impeached? And I think the answer is yes, because the Constitution gives the Senate the sole power to try all impeachments. So as long as the lower chamber doesn't report charges to the Senate, the impeachment has not been formalized, like what I said. There is, and McConnell might as well just go ahead and exonerate him. Just say, trial, case dismissed. If you don't bring the charges, we have nothing to try. So get lost, you Democrats. I'd like to say something more than getting lost. So the Democrats are saying that it's time for them to get back to working for the American people. You think? Look, you know what? I took a continuing legal ed course, a bunch of them, for the state of California here over the last 2 or 3 weeks. One of them dealt with legislative updates. And the speaker had the audacity, or just he didn't realize what the heck he was saying. He came out and said, well, there's a couple things we're going to focus on, but for the most part, the House has been really, really quiet on legislation. Yeah, you know why? Because they've been consumed with impeaching Trump before he got sworn in. They have been consumed with their hatred and their vindictiveness, that their moronic, demonic personalities, which is a personality disorder, has driven them from doing anything in Washington at all other than being consumed with how do we get Donald Trump out of office. Now, personally, that they haven't done jack, I'm happy with. Whenever Democrats don't do anything, I'm actually pleased. Sort of like I started out upset when Obama would go play golf. I ended up really thrilled when he played golf because I didn't want him doing anything. And that's sort of how I feel about this. Do you realize all the time and the money spent by the Democrats in their attempt to, what, self-medicate for their Trump derangement syndrome? That's all this is. This is some cathartic attempt at taxpayers' expense for 3 years to self-medicate for their Trump derangement syndrome. Yeah, that's what we're paying for, folks. That is exactly it. I want to quote Louis Gohmert from Texas. He was chiding the Democrats when he said, you said, and I'm quoting here, you said it was about the terrible Russian collusion. And then when that fell through, then it became about, it was about emoluments, which I don't want to explain. Then when that fell through, it was about bribery. Then when that fell through, it's about extortion. It's changed, but one thing hasn't changed, and that's the intent to impeach a president. It has always been there, and it's been there since day one because you don't like and can't stand, and you aren't grown. Now I'm on my own. I ended Louis's quote. Because you aren't grown up enough, you are so immature and childish, a bunch of whiny little Democrats, you cannot handle the fact that you lost an election. And you've consumed your life for 3 years in taxpayer money with trying to boot the guy out of office. Even Pelosi can't come up with anything. She just said, She just said that it was related to his being unpresidential because he said, I can do anything I want. That's what Trump said. But as I covered last week, that was in the context of dealing with the firing of Robert Mueller and other federal employees who don't do their job. And then a loose connection to supposed alleged tipping of the balance of power. Well, you want to know somebody who issued a gazillion executive orders, blew off the legislature, did whatever the heck he wanted, was B.O. himself, Barack Obama, worst president in modern American history, followed by, in my opinion, the best president in modern American history. Okay. Well, I mean, you know what? I got to come back to just one more couple quotes here from Mitch McConnell. Before I quote Rush Limbaugh, first time I think maybe in, gosh, years. But McConnell said this is just a feature of, quote, partisan rage. And they're going to create a toxic new precedent for impeachment that will echo well into the future. Continuing with Mitch's speech yesterday, he said, for the very first time in modern history, we have seen a political faction in Congress promise from the moment a presidential election ended that they would find some way to overturn it. The articles of impeachment aren't just unproven. They are also constitutionally incoherent. Frankly, if either of these articles is blessed by the Senate, we could easily see the impeachment of every single future president of either party. Then McConnell repeated. He said, quote, let me say that again. If Senate blesses this historically low bar, we will invite impeachment of every future president. Sorry about that. Which then takes me up to Rush Limbaugh. And like I said, I don't quote him often, but I am going to quote him today because he was so spot on. Want to give credit to credit where credit is due. Remember, the Democrats talked about impeaching him after the election in November, which is so stupid, unconstitutional. You can't impeach a president who hasn't been sworn in, and you can't impeach a president for something he didn't do before he was sworn in. There was no basis for it. It just, and then what's a guy, Green, I forgot his first name, who said, look, if the Senate doesn't follow through and convict him on this and toss him out, we're just going to bring one charge after another charge after another charge. We're just going to continue the impeachment because we had no reason to do it before. We don't need any reasons to do it again, other than that we hate him so much, we don't want him in office for four more years. This is how bad it is. So Rush Limbaugh said the other day, he said that new articles of impeachment would be coming just within a few days. He said, why wait? He said, over the Christmas break, I'm going to be sitting down with Republican leaders and drawing up articles of impeachment for the next Democratic president. He said, I don't know who it is. I don't know when it's going to be, but we're going to start working on articles of impeachment for the next Democrat. I'll give you a preview of my articles of impeachment, okay? I'll show you how easy this is to do. And I got to continue this. If you want to hear what Rush said, you got to come back after this break. This is Rob Walter with Red Sky Radio. Don't go away. We will be right back.
Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter is a listener-supported program. Please know that 100% of your contribution goes to pay for airtime so that as many people as possible are able to hear that the Word of God has answers to every meaningful problem and issue in life. No one gets paid a salary at Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter, but in response to your support, we pledge to bring you the most timely and critical information you need to help make informed decisions in this age of media bias and a growing hostility to all things Christian. Your partnership makes you one of the watchmen on the wall with us, as described in the book of Ezekiel. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
This is Rob Walter. We are back with Red Sky Radio, and I'm covering and quoting from Rush Limbaugh, something that I never do, but I want to give him full credit because he's absolutely right. There is no basis for this impeachment. It was planned from election eve, not sworn in, hadn't committed any high crimes or misdemeanors. You can't, because he's not in office. And it can't be for things he did before he was in office. But the facts don't matter to the Democrats. They talk about hate. Why don't they just go look in the mirror and just post their picture in the dictionary? You can skip the definition. I saw this picture the other day of Jerry Nadler, Adam Schiff, Nancy Pelosi, Schumer was in there while Pelosi was speaking, and all of them just looked like they had all just got the news that their mother and their dad died. Or in the case of Elizabeth Warren, their cute little kitten died. So Trump says, why wait around? And there is no reason to wait around. Just impeach for any reason at all. I got to finish the quote that I started before the break with him. Quote, I'll give you a preview of my articles of impeachment, okay? I'll show you how easy this is to do. The Democrats protested Trump's victory. The Democrats tried to get the Electoral College to change their votes. The Democrats demanded recounts illegally in several states. The Democrats objected to Trump's election being certified. The Democrats spied on his transition. And he goes on and on. So this is what we have. So in the future, if we got a Democrat president, then these are the basis upon which I think we should be able to impeach. I think we should be able to impeach the president the future president, if they have any unpaid parking tickets, whether or not they occurred before or after he was elected. I think they should be impeached if they've ever used the F word in public, which of course means every Democrat would be impeached. I think that we should teach them. We should impeach them if they. Are Baltimore Ravens fans. How about that? I think we should impeach the president if we have anybody through hearsay knowledge, don't have to have any personal experience through their olfactory nerves, just hearsay knowledge that he passed gas on an elevator. Let's impeach this sucker. Let's get him out of here. Folks, this is where we are. It's why I have said over and over we are headed towards a civil war. Or a secession. I choose secession over civil war. I don't want civil war. But if, and I said this to several people yesterday, if we know we're going to have a civil war, let's hurry up and have it. You know, I don't even want to spend time on the Washington Compost and how they had their merry impeachments. What a bunch of sluts masquerading as journalists. They're propagandists. Just these women, what a bunch of sluts for the left. They are. They're whores for the left. They'll do anything and say anything necessary to get Trump out. They're not relying on any fact. They're only relying on their hatred of the man. But I reserved my greatest condemnation for those who deserve it, because it's the most disgusting thing coming out of the recent developments, the most hypocritical. Are the Democrats hypocritical? Absolutely. But you know what? They're not as hypocritical as the magazine Christianity Today. Apparently, they're in the draft of Chick-fil-A or something. You know, they probably were against Chick-fil-A when Chick-fil-A actually faked it like they stood for something. But now Chick-fil-A has gone pro-queer. Christianity Today is probably for them. The magazine has called for the removal of the, quote, grossly immoral, end quote, Trump. I want to quote from this magazine, And then I'm going to interject my comments here. They said that Trump yesterday, they said this just on Thursday, is, quote, morally lost and confused. They said, we do feel it necessary from time to time to make our own opinions on political matters, even though we generally steer clear of politics. Okay? The facts in this instance are unambiguous, the magazine said. Now, I got to stop here. There's no firsthand knowledge of Trump doing anything. The Ukraine has denied that there was a quid pro quo. The facts don't stand in the way of the Democrats' narrative. Not at all. There is nothing on it. This is like Obama saying, it's a fact. I know. Global warming is a fact. The science is undisputed. Yeah, well, till over 100 scientists have come out in recent weeks saying that there's a lot to dispute. But of course, the media won't make use of that. They won't say that. The facts are entirely ambiguous. If they're unambiguous, they're only unambiguous in one sense, Christianity Today, and that is there is zero proof for that he did what you contend that he did. Then these loser hypocritical weenies at Christianity Today. I'm sorry, folks. I am ticked. This is a jackass publication. And from this point forward, I've got no use for Christians who say they're Christians and they weenie out and then use things that are not biblical and say that they're biblical to now judge other people without the facts. They said, quote, the president of the United States attempted to use his political power to coerce a foreign leader to harass and discredit one of the president's political opponents, end quote. Let me tell you, Christianity Today, loosely so-called, those are the charges. Those aren't the proven facts. Those are the charges, but you don't know the difference. What are you just sucking out of a Democrat fire hose here? He attempted to use his political power to force a foreign leader to harass and discredit one of the president's political opponents. I'm getting worked up here. They go on to say he himself has admitted to immoral actions in business and his relationship with women about which he remains proud. I don't hear that. When those 11 women came out and said he sexually harassed me before the election, he said, go ahead and say what you want, but I'm going to sue your sorry butts. Guess what? Every single woman went away. None of them could prove it. None of them even tried to prove it because their sorry derrieres were ready to get hung in the smokehouse. They all went away. Poof. They disappeared. But Christianity Today is sucking it up like it's true. They go on to say, this is unbelievable. Quote, his Twitter feed alone, with its habitual string of mischaracterizations, lies, and slanders, is a near-perfect example of a human being who is morally lost and confused. Christianity Today, who the heck are you talking about? Mischaracterizations, lies, and slanders. Are you talking about Trump, or are you talking about the mainstream media that you now want to cozy up to and be just like them and be acceptable? Is that what it's about? They go on to say, I got to get off this. I'm so ticked off at these losers. Quote, can we say with a straight face that abortion is a great evil that cannot be tolerated? And then with the same face say that the bent and broken character of our president is irrelevant? Let me just ask you, Christianity Today, you're calling for this president's removal over something that he didn't do, but even if he did do, you're saying that it's on par or greater than the issue of abortion. Let me ask you, Christianity Today, did you call for Barack Hussein Obama's impeachment when he lied about Fast and Furious? And we know for a fact that Eric Holder, they were feeding guns to the Mexican cartels so that they could find their way across our border, kill people, and then there would be an emergency basis to come after gun manufacturers in the United States? Did you, Christianity Today, call for Barack Obama's mixed up. Barack Hussein Obama's Benghazi cover-up and the lies so that what happened in Benghazi wouldn't impugn him and then hurt his election possibilities in September of 2012. So you called out prostitute number one in your administration, Hillary Clinton, to cover up those facts. Did you, Christianity Today, for something far greater than anything that Trump is even alleged to have done? Did you call for that impeachment because we had innocent people die in North Africa? Christianity Today, did you call for Barack Hussein's impeachment when he himself has encouraged, funded, and exported abortion all over the place, when he has meddled in foreign political events, from trying to stop Brexit to funneling money to Kenya to support a pro-abortion candidate to defeat a pro-life candidate in Kenya? No. Christianity Today, did you have the guts to do any of that? No. You stink. I just hope your lousy piece of crap magazine goes bankrupt, because you are the one morally bankrupt. You are the hypocrites of hypocrites, and I have reserved the worst for you. I've reserved my angst for you because you deserve it. Just like Jesus spoke to the scribes and the Pharisees and said, "You pack of hypocrites, you whitewashed graves." And he didn't stop with that. He went on. He called him a bunch of names. And why did he call him names? Because the names were true. Surrender your credentials, Christianity Today. You suck. I'm sorry. That's how strongly I feel about your bad conduct and your activity. I'm going to slip in a piece of good news here. I might not get time because I got so much to cover here. I'm doing a t-shirt. I finally have done it after this. I'm not exactly sure what it's going to say, but it's either going to say Democrats suck or it's going to say, generally speaking, Democrats suck. I don't talk this way normally. I don't use that word, but I feel like in this occasion, I have to be bold, brash, and speak at the same level that the Democrats speak at, in a manner that they'll actually get it. Then I will report back to you, and then I will tell you where you can get the t-shirt, because I have found a great screen printer in Arizona who can hardly wait to print this t-shirt. Yeah, they got guts. They don't even claim to be Christians, but they got guts. More like Christianity Today. Well, if that is Christianity Today, what they're saying, I'm not really that interested in Christianity, if that's what they call Christianity. Okay, next thing. I hope I can get through this. I want to state in the president's defense why impeachment is a badge of honor. Now, I've had friends. I got a friend who's as queer as a $3 bill. I really like the guy. I've always liked him. He knows where I stand on the issues, but he's wrong on everything. Or he's just wrong on every single issue. And when I don't know what to do, I haven't done this for a while, I'd call the guy up and say, "What do you think?" And whatever he says, then I'd say, "Okay, I got my answer." He's a negative Brahmer. I'll do exactly the opposite of what he says. So, suppose that there is a person out there who has denounced you. Let's make this personal. This person has denounced you. They've said all manner of evil things about you. They have spoken about how much they hate you. But also suppose that this person, in addition to just hating everything that comes out of your mouth, is a strong supporter of slaughtering children in the womb, children coming out of the womb, and in the case of some people, children who have actually been born. Suppose that this person strongly supports the LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ agenda. Everything queer is fine. Everything sexually debauched is fine. These people are just a hair's breadth away from supporting pedophilia and bestiality. This is how morally shot, how reprobate their mind is, this person that hates you. Suppose that they strongly support the incremental confiscation of guns till you're stripped of your Second Amendment rights. Suppose that they're for the legalization of pot and a whole bunch of other horrific drugs. Suppose this person is fully supportive of open borders, which I might add by the other day that they apprehended something like 15 Chinese illegals trying to come in with whatever they had on them, opioids and so forth. But they're for open borders, olly olly oxen and free. This person, that's they're for that. Suppose this person is thinks that the most American thing you can do is bash America. Suppose that this person who hates you so much feels that they have an anointing to control every part of your life and that they're either a socialist or a socialist in the making. Suppose that this one person just absolutely hates Israel. Suppose that this person wants to take God out of the Pledge of Allegiance. Suppose that this person is basically an atheist, but claims that they have Christian principles and that they have high moral standing. Suppose this person who hates you, though in reality, and you know it in your spirit, is grossly bibliophobic and Christophobic. Suppose that this person, whenever he doesn't get his way, gets angry and simply tries to drop in F-bombs and increases the volume, thinking that the volume of an F-bomb explosion is an adequate substitute for substance. Suppose this person who hates you wants to pack the Supreme Court so that they can push each and everything that is contrary to the Word of God onto the people of this country. Now suppose that this person does not stand alone, that this person actually has 229 other people that think just like him sitting in the House of Representatives. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 5, verse 18, verse 17, think not that I am, no, wait a second, I got the wrong passage here. Verse 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. How about this passage out of John 15, 18? If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. He that hateth me hateth the Father. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant's not greater than his master. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If I had not come and spoken unto him, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. If they hate me, they're going to hate you. Now, keep this in mind. What I just read about these people, how much they hate the cause of righteousness and everything righteous, which I could add to it, Psalm 69:4, those who hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. Those who would destroy me are powerful, being wrongfully my enemies. Being filled with all unrighteousness, from Romans 1, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, they are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, and disobedient to parents. And as Paul said in Galatians 4:16, have I become your enemy because I've told you the truth? This is why I say to you, Mr. President, it is an honor for you to be impeached by people who hate Jesus this much. They hate Jesus so much that anything in you, Mr. President, I don't know if you're a Christian. I hope you are. You say and do some things I don't agree with, but you say and do a whole bunch of things that are good fruit. They are things that are biblical, and they are hating you for the fact that you are starting to bear some resemblance to Jesus, who cut no slack in getting a whip out and driving the money changers out of the temple, for rearranging the furniture in the temple, for calling scribes and Pharisees by names which reflected the truth for what they are. Mr. President, take this as an honor. You are to be honored that people who believe all the things that I listed hate you. That tells me you are doing something right and honorable. Wear it as a badge of honor, for you will always be considered one of the greatest presidents this country has ever had. And if you want to know what to pray for this president, pray this intercessory prayer. All you got to do, you just got to read it with a prayerful heart, Psalm 35. Plead my, as if Donald Trump is saying this, you join with him as we read this right now. Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for my help. Draw out the spear and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be chaff because the wind, before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery. Let the angel of the Lord persecute them. For without cause have they hid from me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. Let destruction come upon them at unaware, and let his net that he hath hid catch himself. Into that very destruction let him fall, and let my soul be joyful in the Lord, for it shall rejoice in his salvation. End quote. I haven't read the whole Psalm 35. You want to pray for and with Donald Trump, you get your Bible out and you read Psalm 35, those first verses from 1 through 9. You'll see and be able, as you pray, to not just sympathize, but to empathize. If they do it to him, and you decide to go out and open your mouth in the cause for all those who are appointed to die, whether it's abortion, whether you go out and open your mouth that let no man lie with man with mankind as with womankind, it's an abomination. If you but dare to speak the word of God, you too will be hated because they hated Jesus. They hated him first. They're going to hate you. If they don't hate you, if the world doesn't hate you, you're either doing nothing or you're doing nothing right. I'm sorry. If the world is your friend, the love of the world is enmity or hatred towards God. If he feels your hatred because you have decided that you love what the world says about you more than what the Lord says about you, you have introduced hatred into the relationship. You. And so would I if I did that. If you do not speak the word of God, if you cower and you fall before the knees and bow before the wicked and you don't do their bidding, the word says that he who confesses Jesus before the world, before man, Jesus will confess before the Lord in heaven. But he who denies him before the Lord, before the world, and before man, Jesus will deny before the Father in heaven. That's a pretty stern warning. Yeah, go away. I never knew you. Donald Trump, wherever he stands, and I hope he's born again. Maybe he's just a rookie Christian. I mean, folks, I'm not cleaned up yet, but I sure wasn't cleaned up day I got saved. But I will tell you this much. He's doing the right things. How do you know a tree? By its fruit. The fruit of this president has been good, for the most part. Not perfect, but it's been generally good. And these Democrats in the House, you might as well just call it the House of Impeachment. They're not the House of Representatives. Who do they represent? Well, maybe the devil. the one who's the accuser of the brethren, because that's all he's done. All Satan has done through them is accuse the president. They have never, ever once said anything good about him. That's how much they hate what he stands for. That's how much the world will hate you if you stand like this president has stood for things that are good and righteous. Whether he has that as a result of his salvation, or God is just turning the heart of the king, wherever so God, the Lord desires, just like he did with Cyrus, just like he did with Nebuchadnezzar, it doesn't matter to me in that respect. He's doing and saying the right thing. The left hates him because they're reminding them just a little tiny bit of what Jesus would do and say much of the time. There you go, folks. We got through it. Read that Psalm, Psalm 35, the first 9 verses, and read it as a prayer. It's Rob Walter encouraging you to sit tall in the saddle, America, and remember, you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you. We'll see you next week.